chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And this section is called God is Light. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us all from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for another chance to come and just worship you, Lord, to spend time with you, Lord, to hear from you, God. And we just ask, that every word that I speak today comes from you, Lord. And I just humble myself, Lord, before you. God, we just ask that your Holy Spirit will be at work. In your name we pray. Amen. So just to jump into this, I'm just going to look at three things. And the first one is God is light. And this would have been a very familiar metaphor for the early church, and it was referenced in the Old Testament and throughout Jewish literature. And this idea of light was the demonstration of God's perfection, right? Oftentimes, we like to think of it as God, like light. You know, it's his way of guiding us, directing us, which is also true. But mostly, it was a reference they would have understood to being God being perfect. God's light or perfection then would become a beacon. It would show believers how to live righteous lives, and it would bring others, those that don't know God, to him. So this light would do one of two things. It would either guide us if we already believed, or it would draw us in if we did not believe already. Now, I'm from what I think is one of the most beautiful states in the U.S. I don't just say that. It actually is incredibly beautiful. Not the southeast side. If that's all you've ever been in Michigan, don't. That's not my state. But it's just this beautiful state surrounded by lakes. And Michigan if you know anything about Michigan, it's surrounded by the Great Lakes. And because of that, we have a lot of lighthouses, right? So growing up, I loved to go to the lake. And I mean, when you look at this lake, people who come, they see it. It's not a lake. They think it's an ocean because you can't see across it. Only one person I know has swam across. I don't personally know them. I know of this person who swam across all the Great Lakes, right? It's not something you do. It's huge lakes. And so you have these lighthouses all around the state. In fact, we have the most lighthouses out of any state in the country. At one point, we had up to 250-ish lighthouses that were working. And these lighthouses, if you know anything about lighthouses, they are to guide, they're to direct, they're supposed to help you find safe passage, right? If there's a storm at sea and you don't know where land is, the lighthouses will help you get to the safe harbor. But if you also spend any time at the lake or oceans that have lighthouses, you'll notice that lighthouses are also surrounded by probably some of the most dangerous areas of the lake. It is incredibly dangerous by a lighthouse. Every year, multiple times throughout the summer, you'll hear stories of people dying because they thought it'd be fun to jump off the pier by the lighthouse, and the water and the rocks are so dangerous in that area, they get crushed and they die. Right? And so it's kind of this interesting dynamic of this lighthouse is an image of safety and protection, and yet just outside the lighthouse, it's incredibly dangerous. Incredibly dangerous. And it kind of is a great analogy to our lives, because as we see God and we walk towards God, and as God directs our lives, he shows us how to live, he shows us where to go, right? He also draws in the non-believer, but there can be this almost sense of, as a new believer or as a Christian, why is my life so crazy, right? Like, why is things happening? Why are things, not going as planned, right? And yet the closer you are, that safety that you get by that peer is also harsh, cruel, and unforgiving if you step out of the light, right? And so this summer, I was walking to this lighthouse because for some reason, I don't know why, we decided to go out on this lighthouse that was probably a good mile out into the lake, right? Walking along the pier, and it was windy, and I'm pushing my nieces and nephew in this stroller, and they want to get out and run. I'm like, no, I'm going to strap you in tighter, and I don't know why we did it. And it was so windy that at any point, if we just turned the wrong way, we would have blown off this pier. Right? And so you're walking out, and you're walking out, and you're walking out, and I'm actually a little paranoid about lighthouses and piers. As a child, a family friend of mine, and she's older than me, we were out at the beach and we decided to go out in the lighthouse, and she let her one-year-old son just roam on the pier by himself, and he went right to the edge, and she was just like, oh, he'll be fine. And I just, at that point, I had this fear that has never left me about lighthouses and children. And so as we're walking, I have this fear, and I'm scared. A little, well, not just a little bit, to be honest. I was like, let's get out there so we can take the picture and get back out, back into shore. But the moment you got right up against that lighthouse, that wind no longer affected you. Right? As soon as you got into that covering of that lighthouse, everything changed. And I was no longer, and on the moment I stepped away from that, the covering, that fear came back in. But as I drew closer to God, as I actually, I mean, obviously, once you go in the lighthouse, you feel completely safe. But the moment I got right next to that lighthouse, I felt so safe. The wind hadn't gone down. The waves hadn't gone down. My nieces and nephews still wanted to run around and get close to the edge. But there was this security of being in this safe place. And as a believer, this is what God can do for us, right? Like, if, as we're following him, as we're following his light, as his light is making us more like him, there's this safety and this security that comes from God. And as we walk away from God, even if we believe, that's when the life and the storms really start to affect us. That fear comes in, right? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having, I mean, actually the Bible does talk about us not to fear, right? But to question when things are going on. But as we draw close to God, even when things are going crazy, we can get this strong sense of peace. But the other beautiful thing is how this light that God is, this perfection that he is what draws non-believers in. You have this other side, right? This light does two things, and that other side is to draw non-believers in. And as non-believers' eyes are actually open to the light, they want to come to it. When they start to fully understand, well, not even fully understand, because we still have questions, but as their eyes, the scales start to come off, that light draws them in, right? And if you're out at sea and you're looking for the light, you often can't find it until you get close enough to shore, right? And we have to allow people that time to come to God. And it's not us that does it, right? I think oftentimes in my own life, especially when I'm working with the kids in Noah's Ark, or when I was teaching, or I'm talking with friends who don't believe or going through hard times, I want to be the one that changes them, that fixes them, that does all this stuff for their life. And I have to remember that, yes, God through me can draw them to him, but the key is it's still God. It's still God's light. And to allow God's light to pierce through the darkness is what will change their life, and not every word I can possibly come up with. The second part from this scripture that really struck to me is recognizing our sin. So John is writing to a group of people who were being influenced by cessationists or sensationists, and these people did not believe that they had sin. They actually were going around saying that I don't have sin. And by saying that, they were also saying they didn't need Jesus. They didn't need his atoning sacrifices, his atoning sacrifice that he, you know, when he came and he lived and he died for our sins. And so when we don't recognize our sin, and when we deny that we have sinned, we refuse to confess it, we are walking in darkness. And this darkness is unrighteousness and wickedness. And we can be in the world's eyes a good person, But if we don't recognize our sin, we are not being righteous. And to deny sin is, in essence, I was saying, is to deny Jesus. Who he was, why he came, why we need him. And that he was, you know, you can deny, you can believe that Jesus was a person, you can believe that Jesus was a good person, had great teachings. You can even believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But to deny that he died for us, right? And we see that in other religions that they will say, yeah, Jesus was a good person, but he didn't actually die for us. Or, okay, maybe Jesus went on the cross, but just before the death, an angel came and replaced him. Jesus didn't die for us, right? And by saying all of these things, you are denying what makes Christianity what Christianity is, what God had intended for us in our lives. I remember in high school, this youth pastor, and I went to a Christian high school, and so this youth pastor, she would come and speak to us every so often. And I actually, for some reason, didn't like her that much. She was a little bit, I don't know, something about her, I don't know, just rubbed me the wrong way. And maybe it's because she really made me think about myself and where I was in my life, and so I didn't really like that. And she was talking about the moment she recognized her need for Jesus in her life, right? That moment that even though she was, in the world's eyes, a good person, right? She did good things. She actually believed, you know, she already believed in Jesus, but she didn't fully understand what her sin was causing in her life. And she just broke down crying, right? She wasn't in a church. She wasn't at a retreat. She wasn't in her quiet devotion time. She was in the place that we get all our greatest inspiration, the shower. And I will remember this image the rest of my life. And this woman just getting up front to a bunch of high schoolers and just sharing her complete need for God to come in and to take away her sin, and how she just, that even though it felt like a weight the moment she recognized her sin, but it was weightless at the same time. Right? Like the sin was burdening her. She didn't even realize it. And so for a moment she recognized it and she felt it. And then as she was weeping and giving it to the Lord, it just came off of her. And I, you know, as I was preparing this, that story just came back to me so vividly of this woman up on the stage telling us this and me just thinking about my own sin and my great need for God in my life. But, you know, what's wonderful is that we don't have to stay in those moments of despair, of recognizing our sin. We don't have to go around and punish ourselves. You know, there are believers out there that have to punish themselves. I just heard of a friend whose child is starting to recognize when they've done things wrong, and they are banging their head on the wall because they feel so guilty instead of realizing, no, God has freed you, right? God has freed you from this guilt. God has freed you from despair. And that we get this great opportunity to walk in freedom of Jesus and that covering that Jesus has poured out for us. And that covering that restored our relationship with God. But as we also confess our sins open us, as we, that confessions opens us up for God to work in our lives, right? Oftentimes I go, why do I need to confess my sins? Why do I need to share with other people? Now, you don't have to share every sin with other people, but you know, those sins that we just cannot get out of our lives, those things that we're desperately struggling with, and yes, we've confessed to God, and we've told him, and we've shared with him, but God does say to, you know, confess your sins to, I mean, to your community, your elder. You don't have to get up in front of church and confess your sins to everybody, but that group of people that's going to walk with you, right? And as we do that, the Holy Spirit just takes over. And it's amazing. Like, I have stepped down from inner healing. I'm no longer in it. But while I was in it, just watching people as they gave things to God and watching, I mean, I can think of a few clients where as they were confessing their sin, it was just like they were a new person in front of you, like completely new. And you're just like, what is going on? Like, it was a miracle to see. Or you hear stories of people who, you know, were struggling in sin and they became a Christian and it was gone. Or they were struggling in that sin for 20 years and God and the Holy Spirit in one instant came and changed them. And I don't know why some people it takes 20 years to overcome these sins in their lives, and other people, they come to Christ and those sins are taken away. I really don't know why all that happens. But what I do know is that the Holy Spirit's at work when you're a believer. And as you confess your sins, as you come before God and recognize your need for Him, the Holy Spirit empowers you to have the power to walk through life, to share with other people without fear that they're going to do something, because God is our ultimate judge anyways. And as we start to confess our sins and as the Holy Spirit works in us and changes us, we get to work and live in these beautiful communities that support us. That should not be, they should be sharpening us, but they shouldn't be condemning us, right? And just to walk together, to live in holiness with God. And it's this beautiful thing that happens as we really come before God and humble ourselves. And the third thing that struck me in this passage is God's faithfulness. God is faithful. And John wants to remind us of God's faithfulness in our lives. And yes, he's talking about sin, and he's talking to people who are claiming they don't have sin, and he's trying to remind them back into Scripture that God is faithful. If he says you've sinned, you've sinned. God is true to his word, and we don't have to sit in doubt or question if God is going to change, right? A lot of people, you know, I think of certain religions, they live in this fear of not even knowing if they're saved, not even knowing where they're going to go. People who don't know God, who question what happens after this. Or maybe they're like, well, I don't believe in a God. I just return to dust and that's it, right? But they live in this constant of, well, this is all I've got. And we can believe in a faithful God who's forgiving, who's eternal, who's our creator, and he loves us, and that his words are true. And we don't have to deny that God's words are true, and that God came to restore us. And there's just this beautiful image of our God who is faithful to us. That even in our mess, even in our struggles, even in our storms, God is that constant. God will be there for us. And so I just want us to go into a time of prayer. And as I was praying this morning before getting up here, I just really felt God really wanted us to go back to a point of him being our lighthouse, and that God is drawing us in. So if I can invite our worship, Verity, to come up to lead us for worship. But if we can just spend some time just letting God guide us back to him, letting God speak to us, letting him share things to us that maybe we don't know, you know, ask God to reveal what's going, you know, if you're having a struggle, if you're in a hard time, to just ask God what's going on. Let him guide you through that. And if you're in a good place, just let God, just allow him to just speak to you about anything he wants. So yeah, just go back to God. And yeah, I just feel like someone in this room really needs God to be their guide right now. And so if that's you, just come before God and let him soak over you in this time.
There's a love that came for us, humble to a sinner's cross. You broke my shame and sinfulness. You rose again, victorious. Faithfulness none can deny. Through the storm and through the fire, there is broken. You
just spend one more moment, just a little bit more time with God, praying for those who need his light. You know, people in our lives that don't know him yet, people whose eyes need to be open to who he is. So let's just spend a moment praying for our family and friends who do not believe in God yet. And just be a voice in the darkness for them. Turn to our first slide. Let's pray for those in our community and our family and friends who are have cancer or going through chemo and radiation therapy or surgeries and recovering. Let's just pray for God to just really bring healing into their life physically. And let's pray for their family and friends that God will just be an encourager to them. Let's pray for our community, our friends and family who are suffering from various illnesses, but also need God's salvation. Let's just pray that God will just, we were praying earlier, just open their eyes to him, that he'll bring both physical and spiritual healing into their lives. Let's pray for our friends and family, those in our community who are suffering from other various infirmities. Let's just pray that God's healing hand will be on them as they are walking through different illnesses that they may have had for a long time or they may be new. Let's just pray for God's healing. Pray for our brother and sister who are looking for work. Let's just pray that in this season of waiting, they won't be discouraged, that they can just really draw close to God and that God will open the doors at the exact right time and that they will be able to just follow God's purpose in this and whatever new jobs and places that God will be bringing them to. Community prayer focus, our mission focus. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for SP Beijing, Pi Hansu. Let's pray for the Chung family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, and just the churches in China. Let's just pray that they will just be able to be faithful to God in whatever circumstances may come. Let's lift up our board, PSAM, Kiwan, Brian, Sandro, Max, Jackie, Connie, and Monica, who's the secretary. Let's pray for wisdom and discernment as they lead our church, that they will just hear clearly from God, and that they will just be a united group leading this church before God. lift up our different fellowship ministries, Yahweh, and their retreat coming up in December. It's called Connect. Let's pray for their other events that they have. Let's pray for the men's ministry. Specifically, let's lift up their retreat coming up in a few weekends. That is, I think, the 11th and 12th of November. And let's also lift up the women's retreat, which is next weekend. Not this weekend, but next weekend. Let's just pray for Pastor Sunhi, Pastor Benjamin, and Pastor Sam, who will be leading these different retreats. That God will really just hear, that they will really hear from God, and that they will, this church will just, just be renewed by these different chances to go before Him together. And also Lamb Retreat, which is this weekend. The Lamb Retreat's this weekend as well. Lift up SP 2.0. Let's just continue to pray into this vision that God has given us of a new building. Let's pray for the building, wherever that may be, that God is going to lead us, the resources, a benefactor, the vision fund. Let's also lift up the third floor and sixth floor renovations to this building. And let's just pray for this building as well, that as PSAM likes to say, let's prosper where we're planted. And this is our home for now. And so let's just pray that God will just prosper us here, that we can grow here and draw closer to Him while we're here. Lift up our house churches that are meeting tonight, Blue Pool, Sombria, Causeway Bay, East Enders, House to House, Island, Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, Robin Hood, and TST. Let's just pray for a really good time just talking about this Sunday sermon, that the Holy Spirit will just really guide them, that they'll be connected in true fellowship with one another, and that people's schedules will stay open so that they can be there, and that they can just really come together. Father God, we just thank You for today. We thank You that You're a God who leads and guides, that You're not a God who's off someplace distant, but You are close and intimate to those who love You, God, and that You're also opening the eyes that do not see You yet, God, that You are their light as well, bringing them and drawing them close to You. God, we just pray for today, Lord, that we can just be honoring to You, Lord, that Your Spirit will guide and direct us, that Your Spirit will lead our spirits, lead our minds, lead our bodies, lead our work, lead everything about us today, God. So Lord, we just invite You in. We invite Your Spirit just to connect to ours. We invite Your Spirit to be our guide, and we just thank You and we love You. In Your name we pray. Amen. So just have a great day, and just enjoy the rest of your prayer time.